By the time we reached the thick green carpet and dusty quietude of the director's suite, Josephine's eyes are wide, but she's stopped shaking. "You've got lots of questions," I managed to say. "Try to save them for later. I'll tell you everything I know and you're cleared for once I've had time to phone my fiancé." "I've got a husband and a 9-year-old son. Did you think of that before you dragged me into this insane nightmare?" "Sorry. I know you didn't mean to. It's just that shooting up zombies and being zapped by basilisks makes me a little upset. Nerves." "I know. Just try not to wave them in front of Angleton, okay?" "Who is Angleton anyway? Who does he think he is?" I pause before the office door. "If I knew that, I'm not sure I'd be allowed to tell you." I knock 3 times.
"Enter."
Andy opens the door for us. Angleton is sitting in the director's chair, playing with something in the middle of the huge expanse of oak desk that looks as if it dates to the 1930s. There's a map on the wall behind him, and a quarter of it is pink.
"Ah, Mr. Howard, Detective Inspector. So good of you to come."
I peer closer. Clack, clack, clack. A Newton's cradle. How 1970s.
"You could say that."
He smiles thinly. The balls bouncing back and forth between the arms of the executive desktop aren't chromed. Rather, they appear to be textured. Pale brown on one side, dark or blonde and furry on the other. And bumpy, disturbingly bumpy. I take a deep breath. "Harriet was waiting for us. Said we were too late and the counter-possession unit was being disbanded." Clack, clack.
"Yes, she would say that, wouldn't she?"
Clack, 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 clack. Finally, I can't stand it anymore. "Well?" I demand.
"A fellow I used to know, his name was Ulyanov, once said something rather profound, you know."
Angleton looks like the cat that swallowed the canary, and the feet are sticking out of the side of his mouth. He wants me to know this, whatever it is.
"Let your enemies sell you enough rope to hang them with."
Wasn't that Lenin? I ask. A flicker of mild irritation crosses his face.
"This was before then," he says quietly.
Clack, clack, clack. He flicks the balls to set them banging again, and I suddenly realize what they are and feel quite sick. No, indeed. Bridget and Harriet, and Bridget's predecessor, and the mysterious Mr. McLuhan, won't be troubling me again. Except in my nightmares about this office, visions of my own shrunken head winding up in one of the director's executive toys, skull clattering away eternally in a scream that nobody can hear anymore.
"Bridget's been plotting a boardroom coup for a long time, Robert. Probably since before you joined the laundry, or were conscripted."
He spares Josephine a long, appraising look.
"She suborned Harriet, bribed McLuhan, installed her own corrupt Gesh on Voss. Partners in crime, intending to expose me as an incompetent and a possible security leak before the Board of Auditors, I suppose. That's usually how they plan it. I guessed this was going on, but I needed firm evidence. You supplied it. Unfortunately, Bridget was never too stable. When she realized that I knew, she ordered Voss to remove the witnesses, then summoned McLuhan and proceeded with her palace coup d'etat. Equally unfortunately for her, she failed to correctly establish who my line manager was before she attempted to go over my head to have me removed."
He taps the sign on the front of the desk. Private secretary. Keeper of the secrets. Whose secrets?
Matrix management, I finally say, the light bulb coming on above my head at last.
The laundry runs on matrix management. She saw you on the org chart as head of the counter-possession unit, not as private secretary to... So that's how come he's got the free run of the director's office.